Welcome to our Good Friday service, live streamed. We're happy that we can still gather in a way, even though we're physically apart. Now, this is the second to last service of Holy Week. We have one more special service to conclude Holy Week, and that is obviously Easter Sunday. This Sunday morning, we will have a special live stream Easter service, 10:30 a.m. right here on our YouTube channel. Join us like usual. We're really looking forward to celebrating Christ's resurrection on Easter. But obviously, today is not Easter. It's Good Friday. It's the day that we commemorate the crucifixion of Jesus. Now, traditionally, Good Friday is a bit more somber than a normal Sunday morning worship service. You know, typically we wouldn't serve communion at a Good Friday service. At the church that I attended during seminary, at the end of the Good Friday service, the pastors would take a black cloth, and at the end of the service, they would cover the cross in the sanctuary, and we would all walk out in silence. So why all this gloom and sorrow on a day that's called Good Friday? Well, we only call it good in hindsight. When the day actually happened in history, nobody felt good about what had happened. It wasn't good until Easter. Because really, Good Friday and Easter go together, right? You need both days. You need both services. And I'll be honest with you, Good Friday is a kind of hard part of the story, but it's a necessary part. So let's go ahead and jump into our text for today. Our text is Matthew 27, verses 15 through 23. It's in the worship booklet that we sent out to you guys. Matthew 27, verses 15 through 23. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd anyone prisoner whom they wanted. And they had then a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. Besides, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered much because of him today in a dream." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." This is the word of the Lord. So just to recap the scene a bit, the crowd is filled with Jewish people, the people of God, and they're before a Roman ruler, Pilate. And Pilate presents them with a choice. He asks them, "Whom do you want?" And Pilate will either let them have Barabbas, or he will let them have Jesus, but not both. And whoever they choose will be free, and whoever they reject will be imprisoned, or maybe worse. Whom do you want? It's the same question that each of us also has to answer as well. And so as we take a closer look at this passage, we'll have three quick points, really simple. First is Barabbas. The second is Jesus. And the third is the choice. So let's begin with Barabbas. Who is Barabbas? Well, he's described in our passage as a notorious prisoner. So let's look at each of these. First, he's a prisoner. When this whole ordeal happened, Barabbas was currently in prison. Now, what exactly did Barabbas do? In the Gospel of Mark, in Mark 15:7, it says that Barabbas had committed murder in the insurrection. Apparently, there had been an uprising of Jewish people against the Roman authorities. So it's the people of God are uprising against the government, the Roman government. And it was during that uprising that Barabbas actually killed someone. So he's a murderer, and that's why he's in prison. But second, he's described as notorious. He's a notorious prisoner. So typically, if you're described as notorious, it means that you're well known, but it's for doing something bad. Now, the word that's translated into notorious here could also have a more neutral meaning. It could simply mean notable. He's a notable prisoner. It's not really giving a judgment either way. It could also have a positive meaning. It could mean something like popular. The translation could be Barabbas was a popular prisoner. Now, most likely, Barabbas was notorious to many people, maybe notable to some others, but he may have even been a bit popular with some. But how could this murderer possibly be popular? Well, I think we know exactly how this sort of thing happens. Consider this. Have you ever seen someone who's being bullied finally stand up for themselves, but maybe they take it too far? So maybe there's a bully at school and he steals lunches every day. But one day, when he's trying to steal someone's lunch, his victim stands up to him and he just punches the bully in the face, just clocks him, knocks his lights out. Now, when that happens, everyone watching sees that punching someone is not a proportionate response to losing your lunch. And so we would condemn, you know, the act of violence. But part of us kind of likes to see that, right? We're glad that the bully finally got what was coming. We may say to ourselves, I would never punch someone. Resorting to violence is wrong. But I'm kind of glad that somebody finally stood up to that bully. That's probably how some people felt towards Barabbas. They would never do the things that Barabbas had done, but maybe, just maybe, they're a bit sympathetic to his motives. Of course, most in the crowd would never commit murder, but at least Barabbas was looking out for their interests. After all, it was about time someone stood up to Rome. So to some of the people in the crowd, Barabbas may have secretly been a hero, a patriot, a revolutionary. He was someone who was not afraid to use force against Rome, even resorting to violence. He's the selfish choice, because he'll fight for the Jewish people, but he'll only fight for the Jewish people. And that's Barabbas. Now let's move to our second point, our second option. You can either have Barabbas or you can have Jesus, the Son of God. Interestingly, even the name Barabbas heightens the reality that the people can only have one or the other. Because the name Barabbas means son of the Father. Bar, like in Bar Mitzvah, means son, and Abba, as in Abba, Father. So Barabbas means son of the Father. You can either have Barabbas, son of the Father, or you can have Jesus, the Son of the Father, the Son of God. But you can only have one. So who is Jesus? Well, one person in this passage, and only one, says exactly who Jesus is. In verse 19, Pilate's wife says this to her husband, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man. That righteous man. Who is Jesus? He's the righteous one. He's innocent. He doesn't deserve to be traded for Barabbas. He's done nothing wrong. In fact, he's done everything right. He was baptized by John the Baptist. He resisted the devil in the wilderness while he fasted for 40 days. He fulfilled the law of God. He taught us how to pray. He cleansed lepers. He healed the sick. He calmed storms. He cast out demons. He forgives sins. Only God can forgive sins. He told the paralyzed to stand up. He told the blind to see. He told the mute to speak. He told those who were weary that they should rest. He fed 5,000. He walked on water. There's only one thing that we can conclude about Jesus. He is the beloved Son of God, with whom the Father is well pleased. He's the Messiah. He is the Savior of not just the Jewish people, but of all people. That's who Jesus is. So whom do you want? Do you want Barabbas, the murderer, the patriot, the selfish choice? Or do you want Jesus, the innocent one, the righteous one, the Son of God, the choice for all? Whom do you want? And that brings us to our final point, the choice. Whom do you want? Barabbas or Jesus? And I'm sure many of you are thinking to yourselves, this is a no-brainer. Jesus. I want Jesus. If I were in the story, I would reject Barabbas and I would choose Jesus. But unfortunately, that's not true. You would not choose Jesus. The character that you should identify with in this story is not Pilate's wife. It's the crowd. Look at what the crowd does, and that's what you would do too. Listen to verses 21 through 23 from our passage. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." And so it turns out that the crowd would commit murder after all, using government institutions to sentence an innocent man to death. And you too, because of your sin, have sentenced an innocent man to death. We all think that Barabbas is much worse than we are, but the fact is, we're just like him. You know, in some Christian traditions, part of the liturgy during a Good Friday service includes a call and response that's based on this very scene. And the congregation repeats the response, "Crucify him," just like the crowd. What shall I do with Jesus? Crucify him. What evil has he done? Crucify him. And they do that because we're all culpable in Christ's crucifixion. We're all culpable. Something is wrong with us. You know, today we look at the choice of Barabbas versus Jesus, the murderer versus the innocent man, the hero for only people like us versus the people, the hero for all people. And it seems obvious, Jesus is better. And yet the reality is that something is wrong within us. In our sin, in our selfishness, we would have rejected Jesus just like the crowd did. Our sin yelled, "Crucify him," just as loud as the crowd. We killed the Son of God. And yet, when Jesus is asked, "Whom do you want?" his answer is you. Somehow, mysteriously, the rejection and crucifixion is exactly what Jesus planned in order to get what he wanted, the church. In Acts 2:23, it says, "This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men." And so two things are true. We crucified and killed Jesus. We killed the Son of God, and yet it was according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. This was God's plan all along. This was Jesus' choice all along. Our choice was to reject God, but Jesus' choice is to save us from ourselves. In John 10:17 through 18, it says, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord." Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, chose to endure the cross. He didn't resist. He didn't say a word. He knew that it was our sin that put him there. And he also knew that the only way to heal us of our sin and get us back was to go through with it. Because of his great love for us, while we were still sinners, while we were still rejecting him, while in our sin we demanded his crucifixion, Jesus' choice was to die for us. Greater love has no man than this, than that someone lay down his life for his friends. That's exactly what Jesus did for you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we cannot comprehend how much it cost you to save us. Father, we admit that left to our own devices, we would not choose you. We would continually reject you. Yet in your grace, you have pursued us anyway. In your mercy, you've sent your Son to die in our place. And Lord, we pray that the depth of his sacrifice would cut to the depths of our hearts, and that we would know how much it cost, and at the same time, how much you love us to pay that cost. We praise you, and we thank you. We pray this all in the name of your Son. Amen.